Thank you very much. Is the sound on? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. Great. And I'll try and project for the people who are in the room as well, because we don't have a microphone in here, because it's mucks up the technology. But great to see you. Great to be with you. If you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 95. And we're going to begin by reading this passage of the Bible together as we begin to think about, or continue to think about, this topic of worship, being called to worship. So in Psalm 95, we read these words. Psalm 95 from the beginning. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. So come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they'd seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They've not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Please keep that passage open as we think about it for these next few moments. It's the first in our series of Sundays together in August, and we're going to consider together as God's people things that we are called to, things that we're commanded to do. And the first one is this one of worship. So what is worship? I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear that word worship. If you've been around church for any kind of length of time, I'm sure you've heard people like me, like Johnny, like Isles, standing up the front and saying, okay, now we're going to have a time of worship, which usually involves singing some songs. And you may or may not like the way your church does that. Is that what worship is? Surely there's more to it than that. And we get some pointers from this psalm as to what true worship is. The first thing I want to suggest it is that worship is a response to revelation. As with all good things, when it comes to worship, we find that God has made the first move, that he's taken the initiative. And true worship is a response to who he is, to what he has done, to what he's revealed to us about all of those things. And so in this psalm, we find this call to worship God with reasons why. Come, let us worship, the psalmist says. Why? Well, because he is the Lord, the great God. He is the great King above all gods. There is no one else who comes even close. He alone is the one who is worthy of our worship. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountains belong to him. The seas are his because he made the whole lot. His hands formed everything. And we are his people, the flock under his care. So worship isn't something that we do in an attempt to get something out of God. It's not an effort on our part to try and please him or to put him in a good mood, because then maybe he'll listen to our prayers a bit more than he would do if we didn't worship like this. It doesn't start with us. It starts with him and who he is and what he has done, what he continues to do. And it's our response to the truth of that, to the wonder of that, to the wonder of who God is. Which is why our pattern in church tends to be that we will read something from the Bible, from scripture, something that reveals something about God to us, and then we will move into worship as we respond. Now, there are some people who struggle with the idea that God tells us to worship him. Doesn't that seem a bit self-centered, a bit demanding? Are you need to worship me. Now, I think C.S. Lewis got it right when he wrote these words, which will come up on the screen, in commanding us to glorify him, in commanding us to worship him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. Part of enjoying something is celebrating it, isn't it? Praising it, talking about it, glorifying it. Somehow that completes our enjoyment of something when we're able to praise it to somebody else. The week before last, we had a chance for a family holiday. And we got to go to the Lake District. And you remember, a week before last, there wasn't a drop of rain all week. It was perfect, mid-20s, blue sky. We were just outside all the time, walking and climbing and swimming, and it was just stunning. And we have loved talking about it ever since we got back, whenever we've had the chance. Look at my photos. I had a fantastic holiday. It's part of our enjoyment. It kind of somehow it completes our enjoyment to be able to tell people how wonderful it was. And it can be the same if you've enjoyed a lovely meal somewhere, if you've heard a great joke that you want to pass on to somebody else, if you've seen a cute puppy, or you've enjoyed someone's beautiful garden, whatever it might be. It kind of completes our enjoyment of it to be able to share that, to praise it in some way. And it's the same here. God wants us to enjoy him, to respond to him and who he is and what he's done. And that is what worship is. It starts with him. It's a response to what he's revealed to us. So where do we find out about him? Where does God reveal himself to us? Well, he reveals himself to us in his word, the Bible. He reveals himself to us in creation around us. He reveals himself to us by his spirit, speaking to our spirit. And supremely, he's revealed himself to us in his son, Jesus. So what should we do? We should spend time with those things. Spend time reading the Bible, spend time in the Gospels with Jesus, spend time with him in prayer. See what God has shown us, what he shows you of himself. Enjoy him and respond to what you find. Worship is a response to his revelation to us. We're beginning to emerge from this time of lockdown, aren't we? And lockdown has impacted every single one of us in different ways. There is one sector that has boomed during the last year, amongst others, and that is the demand for dogs. You may have noticed, or you may have heard it in the media, that the demand to get puppies has kind of gone off the charts in the last year and a half or so, and it sparked an adaptation of an old poster, which the older ones, if you're at least as old as me, will recognize, which is coming up on the screen now. A dog is for life, not just for lockdown. Any of you have got a new pet in the last few months, I'm sure you know this already. But the second thing I want us to see about worship is summed up in a similar way to this slogan. Worship is for life, it's not just for Sundays. We gather for worship on Sundays, don't we? We do. We have times of worship together, that's true, and we love it, and we've missed not being able to do that together during lockdown. But true worship is so much more than what we do when we get together on Sunday. And in this psalm, we see that it does include singing. In verse 1, let's sing to the Lord, but it also includes shouting and coming before God. It involves kneeling, it involves bowing down, it involves listening for his voice and being open to him. And importantly, it involves knowing his ways and living them out, as we see right at the end in verse 10. We are called to worship in all of life. In all of it, to be honoring God and bringing glory to him, lifting him up, pointing to him. As Paul puts it in the New Testament, in the book of Romans chapter 12, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in response to him, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's about all of it. Or as the Message version puts it, and I love this, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping and eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is true and proper worship. And of course, it includes times when we spend in worship, focusing intentionally on praising and worshiping God, whether that's in church or whether that's on our own, and maybe using songs as part of that, which is wonderful. But it also includes everything else, how we interact with other people, with our friends and our families. It includes our attitude at work. It includes how we choose to spend our time and our money. It means that we can worship in the way that we serve, or the way that we lead, in the way that we manage people, the way that we parent, how we care for people, how we care for the environment. Do we live justly? Do we love mercy? Do we walk humbly with God, as Micah says we should? All of these are part of true worship. Because when we see that God is loving, the thing that will honor him, the thing that will worship him, is for us to be loving. When we see that God is faithful, when we know that God is patient, when we're reminded that God is holy, when we know that God always speaks the truth, when we see that God has a heart for the poor and for the oppressed, when we're reminded that God is powerful and that we can trust him, it is all worship to live in the light and the reality of those things, in response to those things, and not to deny them or to work against them. Worship is for life, for the whole of life, not just for Sundays. So what should we do? I guess we should examine ourselves. Spend some time praying. See where our worship maybe needs some work. So worship is a response. Worship is for the whole of life. And the final thing I think that we see in this psalm is that worship is a gateway to rest. Did you notice the sudden change in the psalm as we read it? The first seven verses are all worship and God and singing and creation, and we're part of God's flock. And then in verse 8, there seems to be this switch. Suddenly, we hear, don't harden your hearts like you did, like your ancestors did. They went astray, they didn't follow my ways, and so they never entered my rest. Why is this here in a psalm about worship? It's recounting an incident from the history of the people of Israel. God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He was leading them towards the promised land, this place of rest with God. And on that journey, twice the people found themselves without water. And we read that they turn on God very quickly. They accuse him of all sorts of things. They harden their hearts to the truth that he is in control, that he is bigger than the problems that are facing them, that he's true to his promises. Somehow they have lost sight of who God is. It's because they've stopped worshiping, they've stopped enjoying him. And their view of God has shrunk as a result. And that generation never entered the rest of the promised land. And in commenting on that incident in Hebrews chapter 4, we read that this incident is a picture of the spiritual reality that is available to us today, that we can know this deep rest that comes from our relationship with the true and living God. And that the gateway to that rest is worship, is enjoying God, is focusing on who God is and what he has done and what he's promised that he will continue to do. So when things get tough, as well as praying to God about the issues, which absolutely we should do, we can choose to worship him, to feed our faith and not feed our fears, to spend time remembering him and enjoying him. And that can be such a source of strength and peace, a gateway into God's rest. And if we're worshiping in the whole of life, then we have the opportunity to experience this in the whole of life. As we keep the focus on him, even when the world around us is shaking, we can know God's rest. Many of you will know in the last couple of months, I've received a very life-changing diagnosis. And at times, especially in the early days of all this happening, there were times when I was scared, I was upset, I was anxious, I wasn't sleeping. But as I, as me and Sarah, as a family, as a church community, as we have consciously chosen to think of the things that we have to be thankful for, as we've stopped and remembered what God is like, what he's done for us, what he's promised that he's going to continue to do, as we have prayed, as we have worshipped God, as we have consciously tried to shift the focus off this thing and onto him, our testimony is that we have found a new level of peace. We feel peaceful. We feel hopeful. We have started to sleep. In that sense and in other senses, we have experienced God's rest. And the gateway into that is to focus on him, to respond to him, to enjoy him. So, church, come, let's worship the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. We are the flock under his care. Father God, we thank you for the way that you reveal yourself to us. And we pray that in every area of life that we would be conscious of that, that you would help us to enjoy that, to respond to that. And as we do, to experience your rest. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name. Amen.